The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Stuart Beasley, Chris Pimlott and Mark Slater in the studio. It's Beverley, Salisbury and Newton Abbott on Wednesday afternoon, Kempton and Yarmouth in the evening domestically. We'll also be covering Gorham Park from Ireland as well. So six meetings in total, plenty to look ahead to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Rory Delaghi. How are you, Rory?
I'm not all bad, Mark. How are you?
Good, thank you. Still sitting at the top of the Racing Post Naps table. Having a good time, I think.
Yeah, I had a 2-1 winner yesterday. Would have been nicer if it was the 6-1 it was overnight, but it won by about 8 lengths in the end, so that was quite nice. You don't get paid extra for that. but it's going pretty well at the moment, but a long way to go.
Good. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's racing. Rory's picked out 3 races at Kempton for us, so we'll move on to that in a while. But let's just start with a bit of news. In terms of the surface at Wolverhampton, the new Tappeter surface, first UK racecourse to have it, of course, and it seemed to go pretty well. The times are slow, but it seemed to go pretty well.
Yeah, a slow time's not really a major worry. Nothing untoward happened. There wasn't any horses who obviously failed to handle the surface. It seemed a little bit attritional. They weren't always getting home that strongly in the races. A couple of Mark Johnson runners kicked at the home bend, and you normally would have expected that from a Johnson runner to have been a decisive move. Both of those were reeled in, and it seems that you've got to really get home at the moment at Wolverhampton. But the right horses were winning the races. You weren't getting farcical results, and all the jockeys reported that the track rode well. It's slightly slow. It'll quicken up with each meeting they have, and they can set it essentially to be fast or slow on demand. So very, very promising first day.
Was, yes, and no real kickback. I mean, that was a real problem at Wolverhampton, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's much more so than it has been at the other polytrack courses at Kempton and Lingfield, and it just seems the integrity of the old surface had given way to a large degree. A lot of sand being kicked up, and jockeys and trainers particularly unhappy about it. If you watched the latter meetings at Wolverhampton, a lot of horses coming back in caked in sand like it was in the bad old days of Equitrack.
Yeah, I suppose the other big story from Monday, Tuesday was the return of Fergal Lynch in the UK. Do you have an opinion there?
I think there's been an awful lot of talk and an awful lot of hot air about it. I couldn't really care less whether Fergal Lynch rides or not. I think that's the bottom line. I'm not going to stand on racecourses protesting that he gets chucked back out again. But at the same time, I think it's bizarre when jockeys come back from bans and are welcomed back. When Frankie Dettori came back from his drug ban, Leicester wanted to name a race after him.
Yeah.
They wanted to have a fanfare for his return. And if you're coming back from disgrace, by all means, serve your time, come back, but come back quietly. And in fairness, I suppose you can't really blame Fergal Lynch for the lack of the amount of noise that's been made about it. The Racing Post seems to have at least one article every day about him, and it's massively over the top, to be honest.
Yeah, it is a bit, I suppose it's a little bit excessive. So we'll move on. Let's talk about some of the other stories in the news. Wesley Ward is not going to send undrafted to the Nunthorpe. Apparently a bad piece of work means he's going back to America.
I see. Okay, well, that's disappointing. Plenty of people said when Wes Ward unveiled his 2-year-olds at Royal Ascot, most of them look like 4-year-olds already. And when you think of a horse who's clearly fully grown, getting absolutely tons of weight from the older horses in the Nunthorpe, but the weight for age looks really useful. We still might have at least one 2-year-old in that race anyway, but undrafted would have been an interesting one, but clearly His 2-year-olds peak very early, and I'm not sure they don't always see the form through all the way through the season, and that's clearly the issue with undrafted at the moment.
Yeah. Kingston Hill, we'll talk about his chances. He's going to, well, the plan is to send him to the Ebor meeting, but they've also entered him in the Jeffrey Freer as well.
Yeah, we touched on this yesterday. I thought it was slightly unusual for a three-year-old to take in the Jeffrey Freer, and then I looked at the order there, and there have been a couple of St Leger fancies in recent years who've won that. Kite Wood and Census took the Jeffrey Freer, and it sits at exactly the right time. It's slightly unusual in that the Voltigeur is such an obvious stepping stone to the St Leger itself, but the Jeffrey Freer is a perfect alternative, really.
Mm-hmm. Would you send him there, or would you wait for the Voltigeur, or go to the Voltigeur?
I think the Voltigeur can be a slightly strange race, and York can be a slightly strange track these days. So if you're looking for the experience that's closest to Doncaster, I think Newbury comes close to it, so it's probably a slightly better prep than York, although again York's not massively dissimilar, long straight, and if the ground's similar to what you'd expect it to be at Doncaster September, then fair enough.
Yeah, Chelmsford City. Have you read this about them planning to do a turf and an all-weather meeting, like a Breeders' Cup?
Yeah, they've got a turf track. Well, they say they've got a turf track on the inside of the all-weather course, but I take it what they mean is they've got some turf between the all-weather course and the. And the stands, which are in the middle of the track, rather bizarrely. It's an interesting idea. We don't tend to race on very tight turf circuits, but I guess it would only be about a mile round, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it wouldn't be that far, would it?
And we don't have, I mean, obviously the likes of Chester are always on the turn. We're talking about a track with two tight, rather than constantly turning, we're looking at two short straights and two tight turns. You could argue that's conditioning horses for the Breeders' Cup, but I'm not sure too many people with Breeders' Cup class horses would aim them at those sort of races. But they're bound to find specialists, so why not?
Okay, and one more story to touch on before we move on. Darrell Jacob, a bit of good news for him. Obviously had that terrible incident at Cheltenham. He's almost fit and raring to go already.
Yes, it's perfect timing really for Darrell, isn't it? The summer jump season has been on the go for a while. We're in the middle of our little jumps break, which is soon to end. As you said, that incident at Cheltenham, it was a horrible fall, but it was also absolutely bizarre. It's the last thing you expect to happen. So he wouldn't have been prepared for it at all, and picked up several broken bones in different parts of his body, including his knee, I believe, which is always a nasty one. So glad to hear that the Darrell's on the mend. He, of course, it's slipped out of public consciousness now to a degree, but he's picked up the riding Q card this season, which is I think is a great ride to have. I think Q card could still win a Gold Cup.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, he did his first piece of work with him as well, I think, the other day, which is nice. Anything else catching your eye in the news? Anything you want to get off your chest before we move on to?
No, I'm fairly calm at the moment. I'm sure I'll be irate again by the weekend.
Right, okay. Well, let's look ahead to Wednesday. Then we'll get Rory's thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Okay, Rory's gone to Kempton for his three selections on Wednesday, starting in the 720, which is a London Mile Series qualifier. It's a Class 5 handicap over a mile for three-year-olds. And you've got the likes of Windy City with the experience and coming into this in winning form, or you've got the other end of the spectrum, Dream Ruler, who comes into this after just the one win, after one run. So.
Yeah, both of them are course and distance winners, but while Dream Ruler won a maiden here in March and hasn't been seen since, which is a big concern, you can argue that he's potentially well handicap because the horse that he beat that day was running off a mark of 76 recently, and Dream Ruler is in his handicap debut off a mark of 70. So potentially, if you take that form literally, he's well treated. But the fact that he's been off the course since March suggests that he's had some sort of setback or he's been difficult to train for whatever reason. So asking a lot of him to bounce straight back to form and absolutely impossible to oppose Windy City, who is one of the easiest winners of the season here over course and distance at the last meeting Monday a week ago, and is one of several who ran at that meeting and won and are turned out under penalties. And normally when we see horses run under penalties, they're turned out very quickly and there's always a slight worry about whether the race comes too soon, but they obviously want to take a chance. Here you've got horses who've had 9 full days to recover. All the three of them, and we'll touch on all of them, are still ahead of the handicapper under the new marks, which were published only today. Yep. So they're allowed to run off their old marks plus a penalty. And Windy City is the first of them, and the one who's been hit hardest by the handicapper raised £13 for winning last time out. But she won by 5 lengths, and it looked like it could have been 15, to be honest. So a £13 rise seems perfectly fair. And she's impossible to oppose. The downside is we don't have any early prices, but they're going to be odds on. So yeah. There's not an awful lot of fun in backing Windy City win only. But I think there might be a bit of mileage in doing those three who come back from the last meeting in doubles and trebles.
OK. So Windy City, the first of them, then that's in the 7.20 at Kempton. Going on to the 8.20 next, which is a class four nursery of 7 furlongs. It's for the two-year-olds, of course. And is it Muradif, the next one in the?
Muradif is indeed, yep. Won a nursery over course and distance at the last meeting. There's going to be a very familiar theme as we go through this. I put him up as my nap that day. He was a 5-2, 11-4 shot overnight. Was backed into even money. Always slightly annoying, but it's more annoying when they're backed off the board and then they get beaten.
Yeah.
At least he did it, and did it in some style. Beat Simply Magic by 2.25 lengths. Just had to be nudged out after travelling very strongly through the race. There's a lot more to come from him. His previous run at Brighton, only 4th of 7 in a maiden, doesn't sound anything special. But if you look at that race, or just look at the depth of the race, a lot of half-decent horses in there. Looked a very strong race for the track. And Muradif did a lot of good late work to be 4th and just ran out of room at a crucial stage as well. So that suggests that he was on a very good mark for nurseries, and he did nothing to dispel that notion by winning last time out. Again, the handicappers put him up more than the penalty. And so he looks to have strong claims here with the £6 extra. It's a tougher race, though. There are 4 or 5 who themselves will do better and have similar profiles to him. Spindle is a daughter of Dubai Destination who won her maiden on the fibre sand last time out. All her runs have come at Southall so far, so there's a slight question mark about, yep, how effective she'll be on the surface, but she's improving. Western Playboy was a much improved second in his handicap debut. Sylvester Kirk, a trainer who does very well switching horses from maidens into nurseries, and clearly there's more to come from him. Speedy Move won his maiden last time out at Leicester, and again looks like he's capable of better. And Rotherick, maybe the biggest danger of all, was second in a pretty good maiden at the glorious meeting at Goodwood last time out, having been 3rd at Ascot before that. He's improved with each run. He looks pretty straightforward as well. He made the running, or disputed the running, at Goodwood last time out and kept on well. And he's drawn in stall 1 to attack as well. So he's the one I'm most worried about. There are improving sorts in the race, but in saying that, Muradif is also improving, and he's shown that his initial handicap mark was lenient anyway. So I expect him to win.
OK, Muradif then in the 8.20, and going to the 8.50 for the final selection. This is a class 6 handicap for 3-year-olds over 6 furlongs, and fitting the theme, we must start with Tachi.
Yeah, Tachi, another horse that I napped earlier in the season. James Fanshaw has a very good record at Kempton with his handicappers, very good record with handicap debutants, and Tachi had caught my eye a couple of times last season. He then did come in for some support in his handicap debut, quite a lot of support in actual fact in his handicap debut over this course and distance, and was, I thought, an unlucky 4th. I thought Freddie Tillitsky just could have been a little bit more positive about him. The 3 who beat him, he led in the early stages and then just reined back slightly. They rather get first run, and Tachi ran respectably to be 4th in what looked a strong contest. He then didn't handle Fibre Sand on his next start and was put away for a little bit, but returned at Kempton over this 6 furlongs and won well from Mimi Luke. Didn't have as much in hand as the previous 2 that I mentioned, but again, the handicapper has put him up £7. He runs here under a £6 penalty. Lightly raced enough to improve again. And I expect him to be the longest price of that trio. But the feature of this race compared to the previous one is that it doesn't look hugely competitive. I'm not sure who the main danger is. Jersey Brown has form in the book, but isn't at all easy to win with. And I thought maybe the biggest danger would be a horse called Do You Need a Hand, who might be a big price, but she's better than she showed last time out. She was winner at Wolverhampton back in April. She was then off until the middle of last month and was well held at Bath, but she looked very rusty there, as if the run was needed, and she'll probably come on from that and might give Tachi most to do. But in what looks a weak handicap, I think he can get away with the £6 penalty.
OK, good stuff. Let's just have a quick summary then of your 3 selections for Kempton on Wednesday.
The 3 selections are, and I'd be inclined to bet them in doubles and trebles, Windy City in the 7.20, Muradif in the 8.20, and Tachi in the 8.50.
OK, good stuff. Thank you very much, Rory. Enjoy it on Wednesday.
My pleasure, thank you.
So there you go, the thoughts of Rory Delaghi on Wednesday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. with Stuart Beasley, Chris Pimlott and Mark Slater in the studio. It's Beverley, Salisbury and Newton Abbott on Wednesday afternoon, Kempton and Yarmouth in the evening. We'll also take in the action from Goram Park on Wednesday evening as well. 6 meetings, plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Wednesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.